Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. Thank you so much. On behalf of Ventura Securities, I welcome you all to the Q4 and FY 2024 conference call of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Salil Bawa for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar, and good morning to all of you, and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2024 results earnings call for Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. I welcome all of you to the company's Q4 and FY 2024 results earnings call. Along with me, we have with us today Mr. Anuj Burakia, who is the Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director. I have Mr. Brijveer Singh, the Chief Financial Officer of WSSL, and Gautam Chakraborty, who heads Investor Relations for Welspun Corp Limited. We hope you have had a chance to review the investor presentation that we filed with exchanges on April 26th. During today's discussions, we may be making references to the presentation and the numbers which have already been shared. Would request all of you to please take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in the presentation. As usual, we will start today's discussion with opening remarks by our leadership team. Post that, we will open the floor for your questions. After the call, if you have any further queries that still remain unanswered, please feel free to reach out to any one of us. With this, I would now hand over the floor to Anuj, Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director. Over to you, Anuj.
Thank you, Salil. Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to the Quarter 4 and Financial Year 24 earnings call of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. I'd like to start today's discussion highlighting some global macroeconomic aspects. Global economy continues to face multidimensional challenges, including geopolitical events in certain parts of the globe. Situation has led to interest rate hikes in order to counter inflationary trends, limited new asset creation, and high logistics cost, etc. This resulted into limiting of overall economic activity and thus limiting growth. Central banks have exhibited great resilience and continue to take the measures necessary to optimize the balance of growth and inflation. IMF, in its latest World Economic Outlook of April 2024, has estimated overall global growth of about 3.2% for the year 2023 and has projected continuation of growth at similar pace during 2024 and 2025 as well. Despite the global scenario, India continues to maintain its position as the fastest growing major economy in the world. IMF has revised India growth projection for 24 upwards to 6.8% and pegged for 2025 at 6.5%. The Reserve Bank of India, however, expects an average growth rate of 8% registered between 21 to 24 can sustain owing to underlying strong fundamentals. RBI's assumptions are based on government's focus on building world-class infrastructure, strong ecosystem for high-end manufacturing industry, skilled workforce, and leadership position in services, which RBI considers as strong factors and strength to generate opportunities over the next few decades. Talking about our markets, as I highlighted, export markets are a bit slow and cautious for understandable reasons. The Red Sea crisis is yet to be resolved further affecting the shipment time and logistics costs as well. The positive aspect is our customers continue to support us with regular business owing to strong relationship and serviceability. So to say, remaining warm and prepared for better volumes and value, soon we see market scenario turning better. As highlighted during our previous quarter three call, I would like to reiterate that we continue to receive encouraging product acceptance in terms of wide grade and size ranges, leading to adding new customers and enhancing business with existing customers. During financial year 24, the company added 45 new customers to its list. I can confidently say that the company is gradually strengthening its position as one of the key players in niche stainless and nickel product segment. The company will continue to focus on geography and territory expansion during coming years as well. While export markets are of great essence for business, let me reaffirm our sharp focus on domestic market as well. Robust thrust and budget allocation for infra projects and key sectors like power gen, energy, defense, space, etc., which are some of the prime play arenas for our products, reinforced with Make in India policy, will very strongly benefit our company and also the domestic industry at large. We can clearly see superlative opportunities for the company going forward. Let me now take you through some key highlights of the operational and financial results for the financial year 2024. During financial year 24, SS Steel product sales volume rose by more than 130% year-on-year to about 15,900 tons. Similarly, pipes and tubes sales volume rose by about 18% to 4,800 tons. Stable order book throughout the year. The order book at the end of the year stood at over 4,100 tons, valued at about 166 crores. Total income of financial year 24 increased by 66% year-on-year to rupees 718 crores. And EBITDA more than doubled year-on-year to 77 crores. During quarter 4, financial year 24, total income stood at about 156 crores and EBITDA stood at about 17 crores. Considering the profit earned during the year and expected future profitability, following the prudence and relevant accounting standards, the company has recognized additional deferred tax asset of rupees 33.9 crores during quarter 4. Accordingly, profit after tax for financial year 24 stood at around rupees 63 crores against loss of about rupees 14 crores during financial year 23. Financial year 24 return on capital employed stood at about 19% compared to less than 1% during the last year. I am happy to emphasize that by pursuing a well-defined business transformation strategy, Welspun Speciality could achieve a complete turnaround during financial year 24, witnessing first year of consistent profitability. As a continuing endeavor, company remained highly focused on research and product development. Many high value grades got developed and delivered both domestic and export markets during financial year 24, including the likes of 904L, 30432, Alloy 800, Alloy 625, Ultra Low Cobalt Steel for Nuclear Power, Seamless, Hollow Bars, Welsonic 50, etc., etc., thus laying a strong foundation for future volume and profitability growth of the company. I am happy to inform that Welspun Speciality now stands qualified by DHEL and NTPC for manufacturing and supply of supercritical boiler tubes in stainless steel grades S30432 in an integrated manner, that is from steel making to final tubes. This is a significant qualification, a true import substitution by the said PSUs, and will pave way for entry of the company in this attractive business segment. Our focus on all the three aspects of ESG remains intact. From zero renewable energy until last year, financial year 23, company sourced about 30% total electricity from renewable sources during financial year 24 and endeavor to increase this further in future. The company achieved zero water discharge and are committed to zero waste to landfill in our manufacturing facility. As we move forward, I can clearly see the company gradually firming up its position based on strategy and the strong foundation created during financial year 24. So with this, I would request the moderator to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Pradeep.
Morning. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity, first of all. And my first question is regarding the seamless pipe division. Do we sell both high-pressure tubes or as well as specialized tubes?
So on the seamless pipe, we employ the superior hot extrusion method of making seamless pipes, and which is the ultimate, process of production. And that's why we produce all kinds, including high-pressure and, all kind of critical tubes. In fact, we have supplied during one of the quarters in last year a tube project in export of very critical grade, and which was tested at very, very high pressure of some 16,000 PSI or something. Yeah.
Okay. So can you give the breakout of the end market that you serve in the seamless division?
It's really difficult to give the breakup of the end market, but few of the sectors that that I spoke about, these are the major sectors, and the distribution will always keep on varying depending on which sector has how much volumes to offer. So it's widely spread out, I would say, right from energy in various forms like nuclear and oil and gas, and then fertilizer, and then shipping, and defense, space, standard schedule pipes for chemical industry, and for the hygiene industry like food and dairy and pharmaceutical. So it's quite widespread out.
Okay. So my second question is regarding the demand outlook that you foresee for the seamless tube market.
So demand outlook, Mr. Pradeep, we are very bullish on the demand side of seamless pipes and tubes. Let me also say that this bullishness is also coming out of the Indian domestic demand, which is really robust at this point in time and is expected to remain so. The energy sector, wherein a huge amount of power projects have already been brought on stream by various agencies, including the NTPC and the state power utilities, we see a huge demand coming in seamless pipes and tubes in the country.
Yeah, okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Firstly, if you could give the timeline for the execution of our order book, the closing order book, what is the executable period?
So, generally, Mr. Saket, the orders are, you know, basis the customer requirements and also what we execute is not always out of the order book that, you know, we had 1 month back. So it is always a mix of the order book, you know, which is carried and also, you know, orders which are booked in the current period. So, you know, some projects, for example, if you book an order, maybe for a delivery in 6 months, you know, some could be for a delivery in 8 months and some could be for a delivery in 30 days.
Correct.
So it's always like that. And I think generally, you know, as we are progressing, you know, our order book consistency is about 2 to 3 months, and which I'm sure in, you know, with time will, you know, increase from here.
So on the base of the sales volume or the tonnage we did for last year, what kind of growth can we anticipate on a ballpark number, just on the volume front, in terms of the bid pipeline and also the current execution cycle?
I would think it, you know, I would definitely expect something like a 20 to 30%, you know, overall growth for us during this year, and that is what definitely, you know, is being is you know, there on our target.
And what is our current utilization level, sir?
Our current utilization level is definitely low. So increasing the capacity utilization is core to our business strategy. Like financial year 24, I would say the steel utilization was about 30%, around that, which is quite low, and therefore there is a, you know, definitive headroom to grow. And similarly on the pipe, the utilization remained around 65-70%. So there also we definitely have a headroom to grow.
Okay. And what should be the likelihood in terms of utilization levels for this year, in terms of this 25% volume growth which we are penciling in for the year? What should be the utilization level, average utilization levels for us?
The overall 20 to 30% growth, what is being envisaged in this year is, you know, basis the average utilization improvement and, you know, mix of, let's say, you know, pricing, products and so many things. So I think it will not be really prudent to say that, you know, precisely this much utilization will increase in steel or pipe. So let's say on you know, overall, we are looking at 20 to 30% you know, growth on our revenue.
And sir, small point on the...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
Ma'am, I'll join the queue.
Yes, sir, please.
I'll do that. Please give me an opportunity again.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Next question comes from Nirav Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity.
Good morning, Nirav.
A few questions. So firstly, if you can just share the production numbers for bars and pipes. Production numbers, not the sales number. We give the sales numbers in our presentation. But what were they for 24 financial year?
So production volume for financial year 24 in case of bars was about 25,000 tons. And in case of pipe, it was about 4,750 or something like 4,800 tons.
Okay.
And quarter four, if I round off, so pipe about 1,350 tons, and, you know, steel about 6,000 tons.
Okay. And we added 45 customers. So of this, how much were added on the exports market?
I would not have that right away, but I can say that, you know, generally our mix is about 50-50 or 60-40. So
we've been saying that the export market, particularly the European market, is seeing a lot of pricing pressure. I mean,
yeah.
What are the catalysts that you would monitor which would signal that we are towards the end of the pricing pressure? And how much did the export, just specifically in terms of growth, export volumes grew in entire FY24?
So in terms of percentage, Niraji, there, you know, in fact, we were only able to maintain the proportion, you know, and if you really see, financial year 24 is the first year of real activity for WSSL also. So it will not be really, I would say, you know, prudent to really compare with the past periods as the activity level was very, very low. this year had remained quarter on quarter, if we see, you know, quite flattish in nature. While the markets were not doing well for understandable reasons, you know, the war going on in neighborhood and, you know, with kind of energy crisis they had during the, you know, initial quarters. Now, having said that, you know, we still are very optimistic and bullish on our export markets for two, three reasons. Mm-hmm. One is, as a company, we can't really do much about geopolitical events or, you know, overall economic performance of EU or, you know, any of these countries. But our strength lies in, you know, the range that we offer, you know, the kind of grades and products that we offer, and our serviceability and the customer relationship. So for us, until now, we have, you know, very well protected our, you know, business with all of our customers and increasing those. And as the time improves, I mean, we are very sure that we are, you know, completely prepared for further jump in our volumes and our cooperation with, the, you know, these countries.
Got it. And lastly, I mean, on profitability front, that would be much better in the export market compared to domestic, or both of them are largely on par?
Not necessarily, because it depends. You know, our products are such that we work on normal profitability products and some are very high profitability products. And all the sectors exist in India as well as, you know, in the export markets. It depends, you know, what kind of product are you selling. So even some of the domestic sales could be very high profitability, you know, items, and could, you know, exports also could be like normal profitability. So we really cannot say that export is very profitable and domestic is not, or the or vice versa.
Got it. Great, great, sir. And our sustenance, I mean, the maintenance capex will be in the region of 10 odd crores for 25.
Yeah, you're right. So, yes, while, you know, we need to remain updated with the time, and, you know, we do some maintenance, technology upgradation and things like that. So this year also we are envisaging something like 10-15 crores of maintenance capex.
Got it. Great, sir, great. Thanks, sir, and I'll be back on the queue if I have more questions. All the best.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Asim Bade from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Thank you for the opportunity. So I had a question on the method of production for seamless pipes. So you mentioned that you use hot extrusion. The other way is to make it is via hot piercing. So can you just contrast the two methodologies, you know, cost of production, capex, and is the return ratio similar for both processes, or is it higher for hot extrusion?
So let me put it this way, Asimji. So there is a big spectrum of stainless steel products, right? It includes pipes, tubes, high-pressure tubes, and then, you know, it's a and then when you combine it with various grades, then, you know, probably what we will get is like hundreds of, you know, products coming out. Now, when it comes to very high, let's say high grade items, like starting from duplex and above and nickel alloys and all, they cannot be produced by piercing at all. So okay, on that complete range, the only route that's possible is hot extrusion route. And as far as the medium and low value items are concerned, they are all, I mean, grades are concerned, there also some of the size combinations can only be produced on extrusion and cannot be done on piercing. So in nutshell, I can say that, you know, anything and everything is possible on extrusion press, whereas piercing can only do some portion. And another, if I have to add to it, is that portion is mostly on the commodity side of, you know, seamless pipes and tubes, and not the specialty.
Okay, so hot extrusion will produce everything, but hot piercing will not. That's the key takeaway, right?
Yes, yes, you can say that. That's one of the one of the factors. Yeah.
So tell me one thing: the market that you just called commoditized on the side of hot piercing, does that even interest you to look at? You know, maybe since the target customer would be the same, even the product may be different. would you be, I mean, open to consider exploring the hot piercing route because you serve the purpose of the customer of certain products and it comes as a cost-effective way in terms of production, you can sell it cheaper, but increase your addressable market or maybe wallet share an existing customer. Is that a thought that you would have, like, considered?
I think it's too early to really think on those lines because, first of all, we have our own capacity which still has a lot of headroom. And, you know, our first focus is to grow within that. And while we have a lot of scope to grow on value-added and, you know, niche products, I think, first the value growth and within the volume that we can grow within our own installed capacity is the first priority. Before we really look at, you know, going into the next volumetric growth by making investments into a new mill or something like that. So that's not really a focus for us at this point in time, Sanjeev.
Sure, sir. So last question, you mentioned the production volume for pipes was 4,800 metric tons for the year. What would be the rough utilization as a percentage?
About 60.
Of the existing capacity?
About 60-65%. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi sir, good morning. Am I audible?
Yeah, morning, Mr. Rahil.
Okay, yes, hi. So firstly, you mentioned this overall growth you're expecting 20-30% FY25. Now, what can we expect in terms of margins, EBITDA margins going ahead? So if we look at the last year, in June quarter, first quarter, you did double-digit 12% margins. And then from there on, it kind of dropped to single digits. So what led to those high margins in first quarter? And so going ahead, quarter-on-quarter basis, can we again get back to those double digits? What will lead to those if it does?
Very difficult question, Rahilji, but I can only probably respond to it directionally. So, you know, there are two aspects that lead to, final EBITDA margins. One is how the external environment is, and second is your own, you know, company's own mix of products. So, in both these aspects, I can tell you that as far as, you know, the aspects which are internal to the, you know, company is concerned, our mix of products keep on enriching, right? We are getting into wider range, wider value, and, you know, wider spectrum. So, on that front, we are very clear and, you know, we have a clear strategy in place. But on the external environment, I would put it this way that it is for the second reason that, you know, we could protect our margins and our profitability. Otherwise, the environment outside in last two quarters specifically had been really challenging. So we will grow basis our strength of R&D, product development, you know, and the range that we offer. And I would not be surprised, I mean, to be back to, better margins and, you know, double-digit margins in times to come.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, other than external environment, you're completely sure about the range you're offering. Definitely has good margins to offer, but you still have a lot of, it depends on the external environment. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And then getting back to the revenue overall growth you're expecting. So, what gives you the confidence? Because given the order book, 166 crores, which was a month back you mentioned, and then you keep adding orders. So what is the pace at which you, foresee to add orders? How is the market right now? And, so what will lead to such a revenue growth which you're envisaging?
So, while the market, I would say, in export is flattish. So growth for us will come by way of, let's say increasing of business with existing customers, first of all, which have already started showing signs, and let's say when we are in market, we know what's happening. And also where a lot of developments that have been done and, you know, validation supplies made during last year will start converting into regular business. See, this is a very typical nature in these, you know, let's say these kind of products, that any customer that you make would always start small, you know, with validation supplies, and which is
then followed with testing and application, everything, and then after full satisfaction only the real business starts. So whatever was done in the last year will start yielding more business for us. And second is, as I was mentioning, this year particularly, I mean, we are very, very bullish on domestic market as well, especially in case of pipes. So it is the mix of many factors, our own capability improvements, internally what we have done in terms of size and grades. So when we look at all these factors, you know, coming together, so this 20 to 30%, you know, our expectation of growth is coming out from that.
All right. And lastly, you've seen a good turnaround in 24. You have posted a profit for the whole year, including all the quarters as well. So now we can expect that to continue as well.
Well, I'm definitely with you on that. I'm definitely with you on that, and you know, I don't see any doubt why the company would not deliver profits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll get back into you. Thank you, and all the best.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Radha Agarwala from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, wanted to understand that out of the 18,000 metric ton capacity that we have for pipes, so how much do we sell as hot pipes, hot finish pipes, and how much for cold finish, and what would be the margin difference between the two?
So first is, just a sec, it is 10K, right? So first is, you know, if we look at the overall process, you know, there are many steps involved in producing pipe, and they are all very critical and very sophisticated. So first of all, you know, the capacity that we can talk about, if we do only the sweet spot product, is about 10,000 tons, not 18. But when you really look at the practical utilizable capacity when you are doing high value products and all, is further less. And that is how, you know, we were saying at about 4,800 tons of business, the utilization is about, you know, 60-65%. So I would start from there. And then your question was regarding the margin. So I think, yes, you know, the pipe is very less. I would not have that number in front of me, but would not be a high percentage. Because any, you know, alloy, nickel alloy, or, you know, duplexes and those kind of grades do require, you know, cold process, either by the nature of the product or as a requirement by the customer. And that is what also adds value, you know, to the product overall. But having said that, we do some amount of, you know, hot pipes as well. But I think from the top of my head, I can say that would not be more than maybe 15-20%.
Okay, so mostly it would be cold finish.
Mostly it is cold finish, cold processed. And sometimes multi-stage of cold processing when it comes to, you know, smaller tubes of very high pressure definition.
And so margin difference between hot finish, cold finish, what would be the general difference in margin?
Well, a nickel product, hot finish, will fetch much better margins than, you know, a low grade cold finish product. So, I mean, there is no correlation if you ask me. As I was explaining in one of the earlier questions, you know, that really doesn't determine that, you know, hot is always lower. You can say that, you know, but when we sell such a range of different products, I mean, it's really, you know, difficult to pinpoint that only cold finish will give better margins and hot finish will not, and vice versa.
Okay, sir. So secondly, you know, some of the players in India are currently forward integrating into stainless steel billets, etc. So how difficult would it be for players like this to further forward integrate into SS pipes? Like, what would be the key hurdles or difficulties will they face apart from getting the certifications?
You see, we are, at least I am not aware of new billet capacities coming, any big billet capacities coming, because most of these stainless steel producers who are melting and producing steel, according to me, they remain the same. Maybe restart of one or two facilities which used to be there and were not operating for, you know, couple of years, and then they are getting restarted. But new capacities, according to us, are not getting created here on the billet. As far as entering into seamless segment is concerned, I can only tell you that it's technology-wise an entry barrier, except getting into a small-size piercing mill, which is these days we see a lot of trend coming in India. People are bringing it. But when it comes to value product, which is high value and which is going for very critical applications, that product is not going to work. And I am not really sure as to, you know, how many people are or how many companies are contemplating it. But that's a serious entry barrier to get into a product like this.
All right, sir. So lastly, by when do we plan to fully utilize the existing capacities? And also, if you are running the pipes at 65% utilization, so are we expecting a capex in another year and a half or so? And if that happens, would it be greenfield or brownfield?
Okay, so one is volumetric expansion is definitely not there on the cards because we have enough capacities, first of all, and the top priority is to utilize those capacities. In pipe, we are confident that over next 2 years, we should be able to start hitting, the utilization almost to what we have. Steel also, a significant capacity utilization is definitely envisaged, you know, in 2 years' time. The capex will not be really, it's not contemplated at this point in time, except for maintenance and sustenance capex of, 10-15 crores a year. That is definitely will be required for keeping up with the, you know, new technology and developments that are taking place around.
All right, sir. You didn't mention about whether the next requirement of capex would be greenfield or brownfield. Whenever we require it?
Well, that's not been thought. You see, at the most, you know, if we go forward and look at doing some kind of a capex, will only go into enriching the product portfolio, not the volume, right? So, by that standard, I don't see any greenfield capex which is there on the agenda or on the cards for sure.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Tushar Pendarkar from Ventura Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions. First one is related to tax. We are currently not paying tax, and we reported a tax gain in this quarter. How much MAT credit do we have to utilize, and how many years how many years it will take to utilize, and what would be the first tax rate which we will?
Tushar, what are, you know, carried forward losses and unabsorbed depreciation as were reported in the last year balance sheet was about 670 crores. For 31st March 24, I would expect it to be around 600 crores, but after the year adjustments and all, but that will be published along with the schedules as we go on. I think towards the end of sometime in May. So, but it is expected to be about 600 crores.
You know, it's really very difficult to say as to how many years it will take to really absorb. If you ask me, my, you know, I would desire to do it right away, but you know, it's really difficult to you know, to give a projection around that.
Okay.
But what has been recognized on you know, as at the end of the year, you know, is let's say, you know, since there is a sustained profitability, and you know, which is expected to continue, then applying prudence and also the relevant accounting standards, what worked out is about 33.9 crores of deferred tax asset, and that has been recognized.
Mr. Tushar, this is Brijveer Singh here. Just want to add that the company has moved to new regime of taxation. So considering that, the MAT credit concept will not be applicable in this.
Okay. And sir, the second question is related to SSBAR. How much is steady state typical EBITDA per ton we earn on SSBAR?
I think, you know, that that probably would not be really relevant because quarter on quarter it really swings.
Okay.
One is due to the movement of you know, raw material and sales prices, which are not always aligned. And second is the product mix itself. So
okay.
I think we'll have to look at it in a holistic manner, and you know, very difficult to pinpoint that, you know, this is
okay.
This is a kind of yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next question comes from Meerut Shah from Aryan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, good morning.
Just a couple of questions, sir. First is, what would be our current mix of domestic versus export sales for FY24 full year? The reason I want to understand this is that I believe we feel the export segment market is a bit weak, while domestic we believe it is strengthening. But it's kind of conflicting with our earlier commentaries that when we were expecting export markets, especially Europe, to be extremely strong. So I want to understand if we are moving our focus towards domestic, or are we going to still maintain our focus in exports as well going ahead?
So, Neeraj, there are two things. I think we are mixing two things. So I'll just like to clarify. As far as our focus is concerned, every single market is, you know, absolutely focused for us. And company has deployed all necessary resources and bandwidth to see that, you know, we extract the best business out of any market that we are in. Now, the second aspect is, while, you know, we have focus, what is likely, you know, the likely situation, you know, in immediate future that, you know, we expect. So, as stated in earlier commentaries, now also we are very clear that for us, European market, not just European market, in fact we have started working on the other markets already in last year, and that should also start showing results in current and future years. Export is not going to lose any significance in the, you know, business strategy. But realistically speaking, the way things are going in the external environment, you know, this year we are seeing you know, that activity on export might be little cautioned or lower. As far as financial year 24 is concerned, our export remained at around 40% of, you know, the total sales, and which during quarter four further, you know, came down below 30%. So, you know, here we are prepared for, let's say, you know, business both in domestic as well as export markets. And as the environment goes, you know, we are going to address it accordingly.
Understood, sir. So for the current year, would it be fair to assume that domestic is looking more bullish than exports, and our domestic push would be higher, contribution would be higher?
Our push is not going to change for anything. I mean, we will have equal amount of push. In fact, we need to also increase our capacity utilization. So maybe the increase might come more from domestic than from export, you know, the incremental volumes. But, you know, our focus is equal whether it is domestic or export. On bars, of course, you know, the overall consumption in domestic market is lower and, you know, you find major markets outside of India. And that is how on the bar side, you know, the export will be major focus, which was earlier the case and now also the case. So we can say that our annual proportion of export, we would expect to maintain at similar levels also during FY25.
Okay, it would remain more or less in the same range, 5.25. Okay, and my second question, sir, the scrap that we procure for raw material, is it domestically procured or do we import it?
It's both. We buy domestic as well as we buy imports. There is no, you know, fixed policy around that. Depends on the pricing terms and, you know, from time to time availability from various origins. Yes.
Right. So what would be the proportion between domestic and imported for FY24?
Again, changes quarter on quarter because, you know, depends on exchange rate, availability and so many things. But I think... Our import this year, let's say financial year 24 was less. It was more from domestic market. I would say about 30-35% might have come imports and the balance from domestic. And which also
and
is
what
the
would
case,
be the...
currently also that seems to be the case.
Okay, currently, okay, post FY24. And what kind of pricing difference do we see between domestic and import?
That's not fixed, you know, but obviously you see it's a, the market corrects itself, you know, equilibrium will always be there. So, you know, the difference is never very huge. It is in the range of like 2% to 4%. But which is important, you know, as a business, we need to protect our, cost. And that is how, you know, the valuation is done basis the landed cost for the company. And, you know, and also the deliveries and the decisions are taken accordingly.
Understood. 2-4% domestic is cheaper, right?
No, I'm saying, you know, when domestic is cheaper or export is cheaper, the spread between the two pricing cannot be more than, you know, anything between maybe 1-4%, let's say not even 2-4%. So it is not always, so when we are importing, which means that, you know, the import is cheaper than domestic at times. So the situation keeps on changing. At this point in time, if you ask me today, we see domestic prices are little economical and about 2% cheaper than imports.
Understood. Perfect. Thank you so much for answering questions, sir. Just one last thing. 20-30% growth that you said for guidance, is it value growth or volume growth?
I think it's both.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. And all the best for the future.
Thank you. Thanks, Neeraj.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sailesh Raja from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, you mentioned we have replaced high-value imports product with NTPC and other state-run utility companies. So how much overall import is still happening across all the user industries put together? So in which sector more imports are happening? What is our scope to win the business?
So there we particularly meant, you know, about the boiler tubing. And stainless steel boiler tubing up until now primarily was a matter of import. And because one, the capability was not there in the country and, you know, that was the major reason. And the quantities that we see now and the erstwhile quantities was not that this high. It is now we are seeing that 100 plus gigawatt of, you know, new power capacity is envisaged to be put over the next few years, and that is how we are seeing flurry of demand, you know, that is coming into stainless steel boiler tubing, and which is you know, up until now you know, it was all getting imported, which is now, like, for example, Welspun Specialty is approved for you know, these critical tubes, and similarly you know, couple of other companies would also get approvals. But there is enough business, and that is how we are also saying that, you know, we are very bullish, not just for this segment, but also the other segments like space and nuclear power, which are showing very strong signs of growth, you know, in next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. In terms of volume, can you share for next 2-3 years, what is the opportunity that we can replace?
Well, it's, you know, really difficult to say exactly in 1 year, 2 years time what will come, but you know, it may be in hundreds and hundred thousands of tons coming over you know, next few years, like, you know, like in next 7 to 8 years.
Okay. Also, we are talking about the increasing the size of the size range of the product. So what is the overall left out opportunity for us today? What is the size range that we have, and how much we are planning to increase? If we increase the size range, and what is the potential opportunity for us, and how do you see next 2-3 years incremental volumes because of increasing the size range?
I think that's second, third level kind of detailing, Sailaji, but what I can tell you is that, you see, we can go on increasing the sizes only up to the extent, you know, the assets can accommodate. Okay. Now, earlier we were doing mostly up to 8-inch bars on the steel plant, and beyond that we were either getting forged or, you know, doing from various different methods. As we speak, we have already expanded that capacity to about 12-inch, which will be done, you know, completely in-house, and all the tooling and that capability is already built, and which is also giving us an edge, you know, when it comes to, you know, to our customers, because this size range is not very common, you know, not many mills offer these sizes, and mostly the other sources for these kind of sizes are either few European mills or the, you know, Japanese mills. So that's the reason we are saying that there is a certain range, you know, which is unique to Welspun Specialty, and that is where, you know, our let's say value also is coming from.
Okay. So last time you discussed on this Turkey market, you said it is one of the key markets for us, and you know, Turkey is seeing a lot of turbulence in the economy. So how do you see the near-term opportunity in this country? What is the opportunity here?
So last year, Turkey volume-wise is a big market. There is no doubt about it. Last whole year, Turkey remained disturbed because of inflation, and you see the interest rates in Turkey went as high as 40-45%. I mean, unheard of. That's, you know, something very wrong with the country. But last, I would say 2-3 months, we are seeing that, you know, new normal has been found. We are seeing flurry of inquiries. In fact, you know, we've been able to book the new orders. And if it remains in this same state or improve from here, I think Turkey will be back. Though in our scheme of things for this year, we are not keeping very high hopes on Turkey, but we are keeping a cautious eye and not lose an opportunity when it really comes. But in longer term, if you ask me, that's a very, very important market in terms of consumption base, and you know, very suitable for the kind of range that we produce and what they need.
Okay. So what is the size of this market?
Well, only stainless steel, let's say the market which is relevant for us as a company, what we produce. I'm not going into the smaller size, I'm not going into the bigger size, and, you know, more or less what, you know, we can supply. I think Turkey imports close to 50, 50 to 60,000 tons a year.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, this will be the last question for the day. Follow-up question from Asim Bade from DAM Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry, my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
We look forward, thank you so much. We look forward to improve our performance and market positioning by way of increasing penetration in niche and value-added segments and products. We believe this will also help insulating the business risks during challenging external environment. We are confident that performance of the company will sustain and further improve with unstinted focus on penetrating into newer markets and customer acquisition, developing and delivering new value-added and critical products, strategic cooperation and securing approvals and accreditations, nurturing innovation and digitization of processes, which are part of company's growth strategy. I hope we have been able to address your queries. For any further questions, please feel free to get in touch with our investor relations desk. Once again, I thank you for attending today's discussion and look forward to meeting you again soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ventura Securities, this concludes your conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.